My grandfather loved to fish. And I was his only grandson, so he took me along all the time to go fishing. But my grandfather was not a rich man. We didn't go to Canada. We went to farm ponds. And every once in a while, we'd go to the river, but mostly it was farm ponds to catch that elusive delicacy called catfish. There's a certain kind of bait you use for catfish. Anybody heard of it? That's exactly right. Stink bait. Anyone had any experience with stink bait? Just raise your hand. Yeah. They sell the stuff in a jar, and when you open it, it's offensive. That wasn't good enough for my grandfather. So he would take like chicken intestines and a few other kinds of things, leave them out in the sun for a while, and then dip them in the stink bait. Because that's how you caught catfish. Got a lot of great stories about fishing. I'd love to just tell you fishing stories today. But we have this other lesson about being united, about one mind. The great theologian Karl Barth said, preachers should always come to Sunday morning with the Bible in one hand and the newspaper in the other hand. So if the Bible in one hand is saying, be of one mind and have no divisions, and the newspaper on the other hand says, we don't experience that, how do those things come together for us? It's a kind of amazing last few days in life of this country anyway, and because this country is what it is, it kind of spreads out into the whole world. Jimmy Kimmel said on the night before the inauguration, he said, tomorrow's the presidential inauguration, and you know what that means? We should all stay off the internet. Well, we didn't follow that advice. I didn't follow that advice. On the internet were all kinds of conversations, right? Maybe even in person. All kinds of conversations about conflicting ideas and perspectives on things. A lot of people were very excited. And you could see the joy in their faces and the pageantry of inaugurating a new president that was going to take a different direction. People were genuinely excited about that. And then yesterday, there's an enormous march and demonstration of people who were not so excited about that, who were generally opposed in many ways to some things. And you have to come to the conclusion that we don't agree on things. And that's really not it either, because it's way deeper than that. It's not that we don't agree. It's that we experience in many ways a disunion, a dividing that happens out in the world but ekes its way into all of our other communities too. And wishing it away is not going to help. Blaming it on the new president isn't going to help. It's not all his fault. Blaming it on people who demonstrate or march isn't going to help. It's not all their fault either. The fault lies, I think, quite a bit closer to home. Fault lies perhaps within each of us. Now, when I took my ordination vows, I took a vow to preach the gospel in the best way that I could. So if I swerve from that, I'm taking a risk here. But I'm asking all of you to set me straight. But that's not what I think we need to hear today, is one side or another side. I think we have to look at why those sides are so far apart. And I think if we look hard enough, we might find that in the center of it is a theological thing that the church should be very concerned about, and that we should find a way to practice. And I think at the heart of our deep divisions is simply the word compassion and the lack of compassion. Now, before you already start thinking about in your own way how that applies to you and your situation, I want you to think about what compassion means. Because it comes from two wonderful Latin words. Com, which is togetherness, right? Community. So together, and passion, which is not, hey, I'm really, really excited. What is the passion of Jesus Christ? Right? There's a whole movie about it. It's his suffering. That's what passion means. The Latin word for suffering is passion. So compassion is together suffering, together experiencing pain, difficulty, fears of one another. And I think being willing to adjust our own perspective in response to that other experience. It seems to me that so many people have responded that the way that they have in the politics of our country because personally they have not felt heard and they feel like no one understands them. And I think that happens on, we'll say, sides, on left and right. People fail to hear what the other is experiencing. It's a lot like the community in Corinth. Paul tells them that they should be in agreement and not be divided of the same mind and purpose, but just telling people that doesn't always help. Later on, he's going to explain and give them some tools that will actually, I think, help them in difficult times. At the center of that tool set is a famous chapter. We read it at weddings all the time, but it's never intended for weddings. It's intended for people that are in division. Well, maybe it is helpful for weddings then. I don't know. At the center of that chapter is love. Love. Not flowery, feel-good love. Love that's full of compassion, mutual suffering together, understanding one another. And that compassionate loving sometimes doesn't feel very good. If we are called to be fishers of people in the world, I want you to consider for a moment that God might be asking us to use a little stink bait on occasion. Not because the other person needs to be uncomfortable. Because remember, the catfish loves stink bait. But so that we might have to be uncomfortable a bit as we experience that other person. And be willing to enter into their experience without trying to shove our own onto them. That's maybe at the heart of this whole fishing for people business. But that's hard. It's really hard. But that, my friends, is what the cross of Christ is all about. The cross of Christ that Paul says is foolishness to some but is salvation, really, is about God's co-suffering with us. God's compassion with us to get involved in our stinky mess so that we might know God loves us and God desires more for us than what we usually think of. The divisions that we are experiencing in our politics, in our communities, I don't think is going to go away. I mean, we might as well be honest about that. There are forces that have been unleashed that will likely take years, decades, maybe generations to overcome. But I think that God calls people of faith into that kind of thing with a message, with an example, with a way of fishing that perhaps the world is in desperate need of. Yesterday, along with all of the demonstrations in Washington, D.C., there was a prayer service that was held at the National Cathedral. Did anybody see parts of that? Yeah, I was a church nerd and watched the whole thing. Great worship service. But what was really unique was all the big power players in politics were sitting there, but they didn't get to say anything. All these other people of faith from vast traditions, vast diverse traditions of faith got up and spoke to them about what faith requires of us. And almost all of it centered around justice, humility, wisdom, compassion for our fellow human beings. But there was some stink about whether or not that service should actually be held at the National Cathedral. There were members of that congregation who felt like that things were so divisive that they didn't want to lend their voice to one side or the other and be seen as somehow legitimizing something they didn't want to legitimize. But the dean of the chapel put out a great statement, and I want to quote from him, because he said it was important that that prayer service be held because we want to model for the president, for the rest of the country, an approach to civility. We want to model that people from diverse faiths, from diverse backgrounds, can actually have civil conversation that might just actually help us as we learn to listen from one another. And so Bishop Marian Edgar Buddy, who is the first female bishop in Washington, D.C., opened the prayer service with these words: "Welcome to this house of prayer for all people." Welcome to this house of prayer for all people. I hope this place is that. It is a place of prayer for all people in every time and place. And then she closed the service with a brilliant blessing that I think speaks about our call to live as compassionate people and be that kind of light in the world that God wants us to reflect. A light that suffers with another, but then also is moved to act with justice on that other person's behalf, even if it doesn't smell right to us or seems a little bit offensive. It is what that other needs to experience healing and help. Here are the words of that benediction. "Go forth into the world and be of good courage. Hold fast that which is good. Render to no one evil for evil. As far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all people, but make no peace with oppression. Strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the afflicted, honor all people. Love and serve God, whose Spirit working in you can do infinitely more than you ask for. And the blessing of Almighty God, the Creator, Sustainer, and Giver of life, bless you on this day and forevermore." Let us be compassionate voices in the world that seek to understand that other person and trust that God will work something out of it. Amen. Amen.